You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball. Over the middle.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, this is Dan coming to you solo for this episode of Stadium and Gale. We have a special announcement the Gators just received just a day after a five-star Maxwell Hiller offensive lineman committed to the Florida Gators. They have landed their quarterback for the class of 2027 in Cardinal Mooney cornerback David Davidson. He's 6 foot, 6.5, 212 pounds, held offers from just about every school in the country. And we had a really cool opportunity to bring his quarterback coach on, and one of my dear friends, Sage Hansard from ARC QB Training, who is Davin's personal QB coach, who's worked with him for a number of years now and have had the opportunity to get to know Davin over those years. So Sage, welcome to Stadium and Gale.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a long time coming for this one. We've been talking about this for a few years, so it's funny that we find ourselves in this situation here currently.
Who would have thought? Sage, an FSU graduate, a diehard fan, now one of his prized trainees has announced his commitment to the University of Florida. But Sage, I want to talk before that. He had the opportunity last year to transfer to Cardinal Mooney, where they won a state championship. But previously to that, he was at Sarasota High School for a couple of years. Talk to us a little bit about your relationship with Davin and kind of what you saw out of him as you were training him up earlier on in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he actually was just a solely like a baseball guy originally. I got to know him through a good friend of mine who was like his child baseball coach. And got working with him and his team through some sports psychology stuff, because my background and all of that, but stayed on him and his dad when he was around 12 years old or so, because they had mentioned potentially wanting to pursue playing quarterback, and you know, my persistence kind of paid off over those months. And then probably 4 or 5 years ago, he decided to take up trying to train, develop playing that. And then obviously he went into high school, you know, about 6 months after that, and was playing both sports, and went through his freshman season at Sarasota playing football and baseball, and then made the transition going into his sophomore year to go to Mooney, and then kind of went full go into football. So, you know, it's obviously paid dividends. He's got a great pedigree in baseball as well, but obviously the football things worked out. So, I appreciate them trusting me with some of those decisions.
Absolutely. Well, he got offered by a number of schools early on in the beginning of, I guess, 2025. And he's being looked at kind of over the summer, but his recruitment really hit a rocket ship over the last couple of months, I would say. And I think it started there was an offer from Virginia Tech. There was an offer from Kentucky. Then there was an offer from Notre Dame, Florida, Miami, Georgia, all in the course of a couple weeks now. We've had the chance to talk about him for years, and you said he's one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks that you've worked with. What do you think his ceiling is as a quarterback entering his senior year of high school, then going into college?
I mean, senior year, there's going to be – like, obviously, Mooney was a juggernaut last year. He probably had at least two Division I wide receivers, and the guy who's his number three was still a really, you know, damn good high school receiver. They're going to be transitioning a lot of new talent onto that offense. So it's going to be a lot more challenges for him this year, but I think they're going to be necessary challenges for him to continue developing as a as a player, but the ceiling, I mean, if we're looking into, I mean, over this, even this course of this offseason, this summer, like, he just got invited to Elite 11 finals. So, you know, I think there's his, you know, even as a prospect, we're going to count stars and rankings, if that even matters to people, which obviously it does. But, you know, I think he's going to continue to climb exponentially over the next few months as he gets in front of more of those settings where he can compete against guys nationally. I just don't think there's a skill set. And this is, I've been saying this for 2 years, is there's just not a skill set in the country that's, you know, similar. The mechanics are about as pure as they're going to get. I've seen people online making comments about mechanics, and I would love for them to break down what they see, because I watch it on a daily basis. The release time is around 0.3435 seconds, which is about as elite as it gets. The arm time, I've watched him throw the ball 70, 75 yards for years now. He can do anything you want him to do passing the ball. And I think people are really caught off guard when they see him move athletically and just see how coordinated and fluid he is, you know, in and out of the pocket. He's not going to beat you with his legs going and getting a bunch of yards typically. Like, that's not where you're going to see him really thrive, but he can scramble. He can move. Go watch his spring game. If you're, you know, you have a bunch of time tonight on a Thursday evening against Mitchell and Clearwater, I think the first 10 throws are sprint outs and bootlegs. And he's throwing the ball on the run constantly. So, and he's accurate on all of those. He's fluid. He's coordinated. He's accurate. He's consistent. And then I think you mentioned it on Twitter a while back. So, you know, you take your victory lap here as well. But, you know, I've spoken to Florida State, Florida, Virginia Tech. I mean, a lot of these schools about it. But I think we're all in agreement that, you know, if everything goes correctly, externally, internally, with, you know, the different factors and variables that are in play, you know, he's a day one kind of NFL type of talent, an arm talent that you just don't find. Now, like I said, there's a lot of things that he's got to do right. A lot of things externally that have to go right as well at Florida for him to continue to be successful. But, like, if everything goes the way it can go, then, like, that's where, you know, his, at least where he's in line to go.
Yeah, again, the Gators land 4-star quarterback, Davin Davidson out of Cardinal Mooney High School. Right now ranked somewhere between 11th, 12th, 13th when you look at overall QB rankings by the different websites that are out there. I would envision that probably by the end of this upcoming season, he'll be ranked higher than that. Florida wins out against Auburn, Kentucky, Miami, Georgia, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Mississippi State for the fast rising prospect out of Sarasota. Sage, you and I were talking pre-show, a lot of really good relationships at Florida. And, you know, for a guy that wasn't being really heavily recruited until maybe 6 or 8 months ago, a lot changed in his recruitment. And I'm sure it happened fast, and I'm sure it's overwhelming. And I'm sure his parents were probably in a bit of a whirlwind. And I know you were too. And, you know, talk to us a little bit about his recruiting, and talk to us a little bit about his relationships with the staff and the support staff. And there's a really interesting story about Steve Spurrier Jr. in there as well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we can start off with, I guess, maybe just the recruitment, then we can cap it with the Florida-specific stuff. I mean, we've been talking for, you know, between the family, Dad and myself, we've been talking for years about when is this actually going to take off. And it's been, like, puzzling to a lot of people just because he's thrown for all these schools in previous summers. And we'll actually I can talk about, you know, the Florida relationship even there last summer in a few minutes, I guess. But he's thrown for a lot of these schools that are, like, then subsequently offered him, you know, once things started taking off. But it was always like, when is it going to happen? Because we knew it was just kind of like a ticking time bomb. And we didn't necessarily expect, you know, 30 offers in 30 days. But, you know, it's kind of the way it went. And I wasn't surprised. I mean, I was in Denver watching, I think it was the Broncos game. And I was like, they were going through the Elite 11 that day. And I was like, not even watching the football game, just watching my phone, because I knew Davin was going to absolutely kill it. And now he had the tape. It was just the weird intersectionality of state championship, now having the tape, then going and killing Elite 11. And then obviously schools going on there, you know, the window open for them to go out and recruit. And I think once that first offer from Florida State rolled in, you know, thank you, go Noles. But once that first offer came in, it kind of just set off a series of events that, you know, I think that's where we kind of now see the recruitment. But the relationship with Florida, you know, people don't really know this, but, you know, say what you want about them as Florida fans. But like Ryan O'Hare last summer came up to me after Davin threw for them at camp and came straight up to me afterwards and was like, I want to offer him. Like, he's going to go up with Napier and we're going to try to offer him. Because he crushed it. It's the only time I've ever seen a coaching staff ask the kid to stop throwing the ball so hard because no one could catch it. And then Napier didn't co-sign. He wanted to see more film, which is completely justifiable. But I think that was one of the only situations when he's gone on these visits and these tours and in camps where he didn't necessarily leave with a sour taste. He knew that Florida loved him. He knew that it was a positive experience. Talked to Nick Polk for a while we were on the sidelines and chatted about him and gave him a bunch of different information because they were evaluating him and Logan, who you know as well. And one of the, I guess, the cool experiences that we talked about was like Steve Spurrier Jr. was at Tulsa when he's recruited one of Davin's close friends and a guy he's trained with as well, Braxton Thomas, who's at North Carolina A&T right now. But there's kind of that connection there from that perspective, in a level of trust there. And then also just kind of I let them kind of also build this relationship with the Florida staff and all the feedback he's giving me from about Craddock and Faulkner and Summerall. The entire staff has just been super positive, and my interactions with them have been some of the better ones as well from the staffs that I've gotten to meet. So. I think it's weirdly played out really ideally for you guys, unfortunately for me as a Florida State fan, but, I think from last summer until now, things have kind of played out, about as good as they could have for you guys so far.
Sage, I want to ask you a question. It's somewhat personal. It's kind of a message board thing. You know, a lot of people were, you know, saying that there was people in his corner pushing him away from Florida a couple months ago. And, you know, I think for him, it was just a matter of getting used to being recruited and looking at all of your options. So taking Davin into effect, but also taking in other quarterbacks that you train that have gone on visits, like talk to us a little bit about that perspective of you have a guy that's maybe not being recruited heavily. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's being recruited by these major programs and there's probably a lot of intensity and a lot of pressure on those guys. Talk to us a little bit about how you game plan, you know, with a quarterback like Davin or just in general, you know, when these offers start flowing and making a conscious decision. Cause I think, you know, I talked about a couple months ago, you're like, hey, I think Davin's ready to commit now. And we're like, hey, you've just got to make sure you're making the right choice. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of different, like, recruitment don't typically happen this way. And so it's like, you know, sometimes as a sophomore, because Davin only got to play as a junior. And so he doesn't have a sophomore year where someone's offers pour in a year ago. And then some happen in the summertime and some happen during the fall. It's like, this all happened in 30 days and he's been to a lot of these campuses already, but it was like just as a normal guy and people didn't really pay him like that much attention. And I think there's something to be said for this being like a once in a lifetime experience of being able to be courted by some of the major blue blood programs in the country. You know, he turned down going on a spring visit to Florida State. He loves Florida State and loved Florida State, but he had to turn it down because he kind of knew what conference he wanted to play in. He kind of knew where he wanted to look at some of these other staffs and some of these other programs. And, you know, he didn't even go and visit Notre Dame. And we were all pushing for him to go visit Notre Dame. But they only had so many weeks. He knew what timeline he wanted to commit by. And, you know, so getting to Auburn, getting to Kentucky, getting to some of these schools he's never been to that he was interested in was important. Miami is 3 hours away, so it's easy commute for the family to get down over there. Their daughter also goes to college just down the road from there, so it's also kind of easy for the family to kind of coordinate that. So there was never anyone pushing him to not go to Florida. It's always just about like pushing him to go fulfill this experience. We've been talking about it for years, and you know, go live it up, right? Like this is. Today was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. This entire process is a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
That's awesome, man. Well, Sage, I appreciate your time again. Four-star quarterback David Davidson out of Cardinal Mooney High School. Just to give you guys an idea, his numbers, 2,360 yards last year, 17.2 yards per reception, 23 touchdowns to 6 interceptions with a long of 79 and a QB rating of 126.7. Davin will be in Gainesville on Saturday, yes?
That is the current plan, yep. I think he's going to make a little visit out there for the spring game.
Awesome. So Davin will be in town. This should be the start of a couple of commitments here in the near future for the Florida Gators. But again, I want to thank my good buddy and Davin's private quarterback coach, Sage Hansard, for joining us today. And Sage, congratulations to you. Congratulations to Davidson. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Thanks, brother.